I like that. I'm not on anybody's transplant list today. Praise God for that. Oh, we serve a good God. And you know, I wanted you guys, I'm going to do testimonies as part of our service because I want you to be able to hear what God is doing. I mean, sometimes I get to hear, but I don't know that all of you get to hear. And I'm just so excited about what God does. He's still a miracle-working God. And I'll tell you, you just get ready because your time's coming to be able to get up and just give praise to the Lord. One thing I want to do, turn to the book of Luke. And as you're turning to the book of Luke, if you're here today and you're visiting our church for the very first time, I just want you to raise your hand, wave at the guys that are still in the sanctuary in red. They've got something for you today to get you a gift and a thank you for coming out to church today. Just keep your hands up, wave at them. They'll get to you. We want to thank you for visiting with us today. If you don't have a church home and God speaks to you to be here, we would love for you to be here. We would love for it. But we just want to say thank you and welcome, and we're so glad to have you today. Keep waving at the guys. They'll see you eventually. If your arms get tired, ask for her next to you, Aaron and her, to hold your arms up. And they'll get to you. There they go. All right. We love you guys. Welcome. Welcome. 1,000 times welcome. All right. We're going to read this morning in Luke chapter 5. And I want to talk today about Jesus. I want to look at a day in the life of Jesus, but not just of Jesus, but of those who have the honor and the pleasure of living in fellowship with Him. A day in the life of someone who lives in fellowship with Jesus. Jesus can take an ordinary day and make it spectacular. And the instance that I want to look at today is I'm calling Lessons from a Boat Ride. And the word in here today is for all of you, but I want to dedicate this word today to my friend Howard Watson, who's sitting out there. So Luke chapter 5, and we're going to begin to read at verse 1. The Bible says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed around him," and the him is Jesus, "to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and he said to Jesus, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, and they filled both the boats, so that both boats began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying these words, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' And so when they had brought their boats back to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus." Now, this day in the life of Jesus and the people that are walking around him and are close by him actually begins with an ending. This day actually begins at the end of something. Jesus arrives at the lake of Gennesaret, and most of us know that by the name of the Sea of Galilee. And when he arrives, the fishing boats are already docked and the fishermen are washing their nets. Fishermen wash their nets at the end of a day of fishing. And so Jesus is arriving, and it may be early morning, and maybe they fished during the night. I don't know what the circumstances were. But Jesus arrives at the end of the day of fishing. Now, net fishing, let me talk to you something about fishing in those days. Nets catch fish, but they also catch a lot of other things. And since these nets were most likely made out of rope, then they needed to be cleaned at the end of every time of fishing to ensure longevity and effectiveness. Now, net fishing is a lot of hard work. It's not like going out with a rod and a reel and throwing a line into the water and reeling it in or watching it sit there while you wait on the fish. Net fishing is a lot of work. You take the nets. After they get wet a little bit, they get heavier. You take them, you throw them out there. They have to be thrown out a certain way. Then they have to be drug in and pulled in. And even if they're empty, they're relatively heavy when you're pulling them in. If they have fish in them, then they get really heavy. It's a lot of hard work to fish. And at the end of the day, when these net fishermen, they were tired and they were ready to end their day. Now into this scenario, Jesus walks, showing up at the time, at the very end of something, so that he could bring a new beginning into an ending. Now, I believe there are a lot of people in this room today who feel like you're at an end. You feel like something in your life is ending. We talked a little bit about foundations earlier and about feeling like foundations under you are shaking and moving, and everything that you've had your life founded upon for a long period of time is moving and shaking, and all those things are changing. I'm talking to people today that may believe they're at an ending situation. And if you are, and if you believe you're at an end, then you need to listen to this today. So the fishermen were ready to leave. But Jesus jumps into the boat that's owned by Simon, and this is Peter, and he asks him to put out a little bit from the land. The audacity of someone to come along and see them in the situation they are and say, "Hey, I need to use your boat. Would you allow me to get into your boat, you and I, and let's go out into the water for a little bit?" Simon says, "Okay, all right." He may see the crowd. I don't know what he sees, but anyway, something sparks his curiosity and he does it. Jesus was looking for a good place to be able to teach the crowd. You get out on the water; sound carries well on the water. And the people were probably standing up higher than Jesus, and so they could all see him. So it was a great vantage point from which Jesus could teach. And he begins to teach a multitude of people. But something happens that I want you to focus on today. Jesus looked at Simon, and he said, "Launch out into the deep and drop your net down for a catch." So suddenly, the word goes from being a word directed at a multitude to being a word directed at an individual. And God is so powerful at doing that. We as pastors get to hear that testimony over and over. "I came in today. I sat in the service. The word you preached spoke right to me." There is no way that a man can make that happen. That can only happen through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows what you need to hear. I don't. Okay? And he can be speaking to a multitude and still be speaking to one person. And so all of a sudden, Jesus has been speaking to this multitude. And then all of a sudden, a personal word to Simon flies out of that. And he looks at Simon and he says, "I want you to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." This word was a personal word. And you know what a personal word usually means? It means it has to be acted upon. It requires faith and some type of action. The Lord just usually just doesn't give you a word, something like this: "Your hair's pretty today." Now, I've had the Lord tell me, "I love you." I've heard him say that to me. I love you, son. And I've heard those kind of things, and they're beautiful, amazing words. But in this word, the Lord looked at Simon, and he said, I want you to do something. Now, someone here today, as I said earlier, is it a change in your life? And I don't know where Jesus has been in your life up to this point. I don't know if he's been a part of your experience or not. Most of you know, at least you know who Jesus is. But Jesus is moving into personal territory today. All right, he's moving into the where he is speaking a personal word of direction for your life. Asking for something. Directing a step that needs to be taken. He's no longer just speaking to multitudes. Jesus is speaking to you this morning. Now, Jesus' directive to Simon didn't make any sense. Anybody ever heard a word from the Lord that didn't make any sense? All right, you got to understand, Simon's a fisherman, grew up in a fishing family, works with guys who were at least second-generation fishermen, and probably the legacy of fishing in their families went back a lot further than that. Simon says, we're at an end. You don't understand. We are at a place where we're stopping what we're doing. Activities that are required to shut something down are being done. And Jesus tells them to move out into the deep water and let down their nets. I can just imagine what Peter was thinking. He knows nothing about what I've been doing. He doesn't even know about what I'm doing. Okay? And then Peter probably went back in his mind and started thinking about other times. And Peter says, my experience tells me this isn't going to work. We're past the hour of fishing. We've already been doing that all night. We're past the peak hour, and nothing's happened. I'm tired. Anybody ever been tired? Anybody ever told God, I'm tired? I have. I've told him. Peter says, I'm tired, and I'm ready to quit. And now, he's saying, go out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Now, someone in this room is being challenged to move beyond what you've always known. Someone's being challenged to make a move that doesn't make sense in the natural. Someone's being called to put aside your pride, what you know, and to risk it all on a word from Jesus. And Simon argued against the direction of Jesus in his mind. His mind told him, this is nothing's going to change. This is a fruitless effort. This is not going to work. But he said something that was a doorway, it opened a doorway in his life for the miraculous power of God. He said, yet at your word, I will let down the net. Everybody shout at your word. This is where the challenge comes in. Are we going to trust our experience? Are we going to trust our thoughts about what God will do and will not do? Or are we going to take him at his word and very simply do what he's telling us to do? I understand you don't want to have to clean up another mess. The apostles didn't want to have to clean those nets a second time in a fruitless effort. I understand you don't want to clean up another mess. I understand you may be tired of failing. I understand you may be struggling with the sense of all of it. But the struggle happens at his word. When he says something that is contrary to the way we've always done things or the way we think. Or contrary to what our experience is. Are you willing to take the risk to experience something that you've never experienced before? Let's go a little bit deeper than that. Are you willing to admit that your efforts have failed? Let's go a little bit deeper than that. Are you willing to release the control that you never really had? Are you willing to take the risk to understand that Jesus may be different than what you've always heard about him, than what you've experienced in the past? Simon didn't rely on his experiences, and he had many. He didn't rely on his experiences that were available to him, his history. He made the move into the deep based upon a word from God. Now, they went out into the deep, and they let down their nets for a catch. And after the nets were released, and after they had moved into the deep, such a great number of fish were caught that the nets began to break, and what the fish that they were able to get into the boat were so many that both boats began to sink. Now here is a fisherman who all of a sudden has a fresh revelation of God. He sees something about God that maybe he had heard but had never experienced in his own life. And that was that Jesus could change the circumstances and situations even in his own life, even when it looked like there was no natural answer. That God had control and power in his life. And Simon's willingness to act at Jesus' word opened a door for a flood of revelation. One act of obedience opened a door not just for one revelation, but for a flood of revelation. The first revelation was, God is God and he has control of everything that concerns my life. He can bring about things that I can't bring about. He can make things happen anytime and anywhere and any way he wants. It was a fresh revelation to Simon. I can imagine Simon sitting there thinking, Jesus, your power and authority over my world. Everybody say my world. Over my world has made me realize how small and pitiful my efforts to control things have been. And when he realized what a control freak he was and how short-sighted he had been and how he had actually had doors closed to God in his life, he said, depart from me. Depart from me. You can't possibly use a control freak like me, a fearful man like me, a sinful man like me. Then the most unlikely, compassionate, and crazy Jesus thing happened. Simon's revelation of Jesus' power and authority turned into a revelation of Simon's own destiny. Look at your neighbor and say to them, don't be afraid. Now Jesus is rocking some people's worlds just like he rocked Peter's world. Just like he rocked Simon's world. Simon felt like everything was on him. Anybody ever felt like everything was on you? It all depends upon me, my knowledge, my experience. Peter, Jesus showed Simon that he could act outside of what Simon had experienced and what he knew his whole life. He showed him that he was actually the one in control. And you know what? You know how he revealed that to Simon? He revealed that to Simon in Simon's world, the world of fishing. It wasn't in church, although there would have been nothing wrong with a revelation like that. It was right in Simon's world. But that revelation only came, the door was open for that revelation only because Simon obeyed a word that didn't make any sense to him. That was what opened the door for God to move supernaturally in his experience and in his world and opened a door for a flood of revelation in his life. And the reason you preached to each other a minute ago and said, don't be afraid, because somebody is either hearing or about to hear a word that's going to be contrary to your natural experience. God will, and times in our lives, sometimes He'll tell you things that make sense. Many times He'll tell you to do things that don't make any sense at all. Okay? Now, they're all founded in the Word of God. You know, He's not going to tell you to go outside, strip naked, and run through the parking lot. I don't think He is. If He does, please let me know so I can be in the back room when that takes place. Okay? All right? But listen. God has many times told me something that did not make any sense. Do you think Abraham thought twice about the word, get up and leave everything you know and go to a place that I'll show you? That word didn't make any sense. He had all of his inheritance where he was. He was settled where he was. But God told him a word that didn't make sense. Do you think it made any sense to him later, after it looked like he had received the promise and had Isaac his son, when the Lord said, I want you to sacrifice Isaac to me on a mountain that I'll show you? Abraham didn't understand the gravity of what God was telling him to do. Abraham's actions were not just showing his submission and trust in God, but they were prophetic actions, showing the Israelis where they would set up their temple and where they would worship in the future, and what place would be the center of their worship. You don't know the gravity of what God is telling you to do. You don't know what the fallout can be. It can go way beyond just you. Yes, it can be a blessing to you, but it can be something that can go way beyond you. I'll never forget, I was laying in my little house in Rockwall, green shag carpet. It was ugly. My kids were talking about this house the other day and how much they enjoyed it. And the only thing that I enjoyed about it was the rent was $500 a month. Anybody ever remember those days? 3-bedroom house, rent $500 a month. I couldn't pay that. I mean, I struggled every month to come up with that. God was just beginning. I mean, He was turning my life around at that point. I had done a real good job of bottoming everything out. So He was restoring and teaching me to walk by faith. And I went in that bedroom and laid down on one of my kids' beds, and my wife had left, and I felt like the Lord was telling me, come here, I want to talk to you. And I went in there and I laid down on the bed, and I heard the Lord say to me, I want you to get up and go to Fort Worth, Texas, and move your family there. It was a direction, it was a word that was really an ending of a dream. I had been saved in Rockwall. The Lord had blessed me in Rockwall. He had helped me in Rockwall. He had strengthened me in Rockwall. A lot of things had changed at that point in time. I had friends in Rockwall. We had family close by. And God said, I want you to move to the far side of the Metroplex. Get over there and get prepared for what I have for you. Well, do you know, at the very same time that God was speaking that word to me, my wife was driving to the grocery store. And at the very same time He was telling that word to me, He was saying this to her, because later when we got into the house, and I said, honey, I need to tell you something. I believe God spoke to me. And I told her, I'll share with you what she said. But at the very same time she was driving to the grocery store, the Lord was speaking this to her. I'm going to tell your husband today that I'm moving you guys to Fort Worth. So when I got back and I told her what I felt like the Lord had told me, what I believed He had told me, she said, well, He told me He was going to tell you that on the way to the store. Okay? So I know that that's God. And you know, that set, that we could have sat by and we had jobs there. Okay? And I wasn't the most qualified guy to go in and get a job. So, you know, I hated changing jobs because it always seemed like it was a struggle for me to go to one job to the next. It was scary. Really, really scary. But at His word, the struggle was over the word. Is He who He really says He is. Is He? That move opened up a door of revelation for me into God. This step of obedience by Simon opened up a great door of revelation to him. Because Jesus looked at Simon and said, "From now on, you'll catch men." So that step of obedience to launch out into the deep and let down his nets for the catch didn't only open a revelation to Simon of God's power and ability to control Simon's world, but it opened up a door of revelation into his future. And Jesus said, from now on, everything's going to be different. From now on, this is the way you're going to live. Not as a fisherman, but as somebody who hears my word and responds. You're not going to depend upon experience. You're not going to depend upon what makes sense. You're not even going to depend upon education. You're not going to depend upon any of those things. From now on, you will live as someone who hears my word and obeys it. And that's the transition that God is making in people's lives today. But the challenge is, the first word that He has in front of you right now, or the word that's coming soon, will you obey it? Will you obey it? We are making a big mistake in our society today, and I'm almost done. We're making a big mistake with God in our society. Even believers are picking and choosing what words they want to obey from God. Picking and choosing. All right, if they hear one word and it's going to cause too much trouble, too much sacrifice, then they'll say no to that one. And they'll think if they say no to that one, God is such a God of mercy, they can go on and He'll keep working in their life. I'm going to dispel that rumor right now. That's not going to happen. I'm not saying you'll lose your salvation. I'm not saying you'll die. I'm just saying that when God gives you a direction, that direction is critical to everything else that's going to happen down the road in your life. Yes, it's all connected. Okay? And so part of what you need to know to get to where He's taking you is you got to stop calling the shots. Now, you got to get to the place when God speaks something into your life and says, this is what I want you to do, and it may not even make sense, but you say, at your word, I live my life at your word. At your word, that's where I live my life. Okay? What you tell me to do, I will do. And if you're not sure about the direction you're getting, take it to a trusted believer in the body of Christ. Let them pray with you about it. If it just seems so, if it's a life-changing, life-altering word, then take it to somebody else and get somebody else you trust. You know who you need to take it to? Somebody who has no other goal in your life than see God's will come to pass. They're not afraid of you moving. They don't want you staying around them more than they want you going and obeying that word. What they want is they want more God's will in your life more than anything else. Take that word to them if you're not sure. Get and pray about it. If it's God, everybody will hear the same thing. They will. They'll hear the same thing. So God's calling somebody into deep water today. And you're being called to act contrary to the familiar and take a step of faith in Jesus. And if you respond like Simon did, then you'll have to forsake your comfort zone and follow Him. And if you do that, you know what? A flood of revelation is going to follow. Not just a little, but a lot is coming to you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name today, we stand here. And I thank You for this account that we have read about in the Word. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you challenge Simon. Lord, I'm thankful that you have shown me through your Word that you have power in my world. My world. Somebody sitting out there thinking, saying today, well, you don't understand where I live, what I am. God's saying, I got power in your world. Well, you don't understand the powers that control my world. God's saying, I got power in your world. And Father, I thank you that as Peter obeyed your word, Lord, that it opened a door of a flood of revelation to him that not only solved a problem that he had at the time, but opened a door for his future. And so, Lord, I pray that everybody in this place today will obey the word of the Lord that he is giving them. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen, and amen, and amen.